Welcome to Root of the Matter, a podcast from the Tennessee Farm Bureau Federation. We'll discuss the issues and events that define our most important industry, agriculture. Getting to the root of the matter today is your host, Lee Maddox.
And joining us now are our friends at Genera in Von Ohr, Tennessee. And we've got Brad Valentine and Sam Jackson. Fellas, thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, thanks for having us today, Lee.
So, Sam, kind of give us an overview of Genera. It's been in place there for East Tennessee and making an impact to folks around the area there, to the economy for a few years now. Tell us, give us an update on Genera.
Sure. So, yeah, Genera's been around. It's actually, time flies when you're having fun, right? It's actually been about 11 going on 12 years now. And our original background was related to growing agricultural feedstocks for conversion into biofuels and biopower and other things like that. And so we've worked both here in Tennessee and around the country on supplying different facilities with biomass, working with farmers to grow common and maybe some not so common feedstocks over the years. And about 3 years ago, Genera started down a different path where we wanted to become more fully integrated and have our own manufacturing capabilities. So how could we take agricultural crops and convert those into additional usable products for consumers? And so in mid-2019, we received the full financing for our first manufacturing facility that we're building out here in Von Ohr as we speak. And that facility will essentially convert some ag feedstocks like switchgrass or biomass sorghum and wheat straw into agricultural fiber, so a pulp, if you will. Using a very proprietary process that we've been able to license. It's a very good, sustainable, clean process. No odors, no significant waste or anything like that. And we'll convert those feedstocks into a fiber. Some of that fiber will go out into paper towels and tissues and boxes, things of that nature that our customers will make. And then we'll also have a very significant amount of manufacturing here on site where we'll actually make food service packaging products. So think about plates and bowls and takeout containers, things of that nature that restaurants and schools and other institutions use on a regular basis. So we'll convert switchgrass, as an example, into a takeout container that you could take your pizza home from your favorite local restaurant there. And that product will be fully compostable, fully biodegradable, and all ties directly back to on-farm production. So we think it's a great opportunity to create a new market for an agricultural crop, while at the same time providing a sustainable product for an industry that's moving away from single-use plastics and styrofoams and things like that. So our facility's under construction right now. We should come online with full production in the fourth quarter of this year and continue to grow after that.
Well, it sounds exciting, without a doubt, and all the work that has been done and performed over the years with Genera have just been top-notch and been usable for not only the surrounding economy, but directly to farmers that are impacted with the crops that they actually sell to you, right? That's how it's going to work, or it's how it's always worked, is they, like you said, they get a contract with you to provide switchgrass, and I'm assuming maybe some other crops are involved in this process, not just switchgrass, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Brad, you may want to overview some of the crops that you're working with growers on.
Sure, I'll give that a go. So, yes, I mean, switchgrass is the primary crop that we are looking at, and that is a perennial-based crop. However, we do work with some annual crops, so the main annual crop that we look at is a biomass sorghum, and that is a purpose-bred crop that's intended to produce large amounts of biomass on an annual basis. So we use a variety currently that is 120-day maturity variety, and that sort of fits into rotation with producers. Maybe a corn and soybean rotation, you could switch out corn and do biomass sorghum, or if you had a late planting or weren't able to get your corn in the ground, well, the biomass sorghum would come in and fill those gaps and provide you some of those breaks and diseases and different weed control measures that would be similar to how corn would fit into your rotation there. And also we are looking at some crop residue. So currently we are contracting for wheat straw. We do have a caveat that it must be combined, but that is another option out there that's available to producers that are interested in, you know, growing crops for Genera.
So yeah, that's taking place now, right? The wheat harvest. So you're taking in that wheat straw at the present time or what?
So we are currently not accepting material, but we are issuing production contracts for material. So just right before this call, I had a conversation with a grower who is producing some tonnage of wheat straw for us, and he has harvested his crop and has it set aside in storage and called to let me know that it's ready for pickup when we are ready to pick that material up. So, things are moving along fast. You know, these are raw materials that require, you know, a production season. So we have to get started now, even though the plant will not come online until this fall.
And we're talking about switchgrass there and then some of the folks that are raising the sorghum as well, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have several acres of sorghum out there in the ground this year and are always looking to add more to that.
And that radius that you're looking at around the production facility, which is located there in Von Ohr, what kind of a range are you looking for to reach out to those producers?
Sure. So, you know, typically we look within a 60 to 100-mile radius of the facility here. You know, a lot of our growers currently are in the Tennessee Valley area here south of between Knoxville and Chattanooga. Do have some folks over on the plateau and even a little further west. But, you know, Middle Tennessee, southern Middle Tennessee, back over to this way to the mountains and, you know, further up north to that side of the state, certainly, you know, are looking to reach out to producers or work with producers in those areas.
And Sam, I know that all of this, as you said, this has been in the process for 3 years or so, and nobody had an inclination as to what 2020 was going to bring us, especially as February and March rode in here, especially in March with the complete kind of shutdown from COVID-19. So that's had to have had an impact on Genera as well, but you know, everybody, like farmers, you know, you're still working through all of this, and you find out that, you know, we got to change the way we do things a little bit, right?
Absolutely. You know, and who would have envisioned what the farm economy has gone through over the last 6 months between COVID and issues in the dairy industry and all of these different things that kind of all conspired to hit at the same time here? It's definitely been a rough time. And, you know, I think farmers, just because of the length of the growing seasons and the long-term decisions and investments they make, are probably more susceptible to that than a lot of other businesses. But I think through all of this, you know, it's a continued reminder that as a producer, you need to have a diversified operation and be able to count on revenue streams from different types of products, whether that's cattle and corn and beans, or you know, a hay operation that has some cattle mixed in. You know, you just to be more sustainable for the long term, to be able to weather these storms that we have to face on a regular basis, diversification always helps. And, you know, that's really one of the things that Genera has tried to focus on, is that with our crops that we produce, we don't advocate or work with our producers to replace anything that they're doing. We don't want them to displace corn acres or bean acres or cattle. We simply want to be additive to that farm operation. And, you know, as well as I do, most farms have a few acres here or there that are really what we would call underutilized. They're not managed, or they're not producing a revenue return to the farmer. And those are the acres that we typically target with our crops. Maybe lower productivity, but with our crops, they adapt pretty well and can produce a good line of revenue from that acre. An acre that wasn't producing revenue before. And so you've added a different revenue line to the budget of the farm. And all in all, that revenue will make that operation a little more sustainable. You know, nobody can predict the future in terms of what the ag economy is going to do. But in general, if you're diversified, you can withstand a little bit more than somebody that may not be diversified.
This is just such a unique, maybe, a couple of things, a unique opportunity But a unique way that even showing more so how agriculture protects the environment, how our farmers are protecting the environment and protecting our land, and then what you all are doing, adding to that, you're just taking their crops and turning it into a useful item that all of us use or can use every day, and what we're going to see more of. And nobody wants to see more plastic out there. And this would take the...
That's exactly right.
This is kind of a unique opportunity.
Absolutely. And we, you can sit back and think about the concept. So today, a lot of food service products that you use are typically imported. They're not even manufactured in the U.S. And so when you step back and compare what we're doing here to that, you know, the farmer down the road grew the crop. It was produced here in Tennessee. And then the consumer could use it as at a restaurant, you know, just down the road as well. So bringing that whole production cycle back to a local sort of scenario, you have that more circular economy, you keep all those dollars locally. It does a lot more than just impact the farm economy or impact a manufacturing facility. It's a circular economy. That dollar goes all the way through and gets amplified. And so it just increases that benefit. And I think, too, on the environmental side, you make a great point there, is that farmers don't get credit for what they do for the environment in most cases. You know, if anything, they get bashed sometimes for what they do. And the reality is farmers are the frontline defense for maintaining soil quality, for maintaining water quality, and they do a good job of it. And, you know, there's always a bad apple in any industry, but farmers in general are the ones that are maintaining that environmental quality more so than anybody else in this country. And I think that these types of products and what we're trying to do here can help spread that message that, you know, this is a very sustainable product, and it all starts on that local farm. That farmer wants to manage his soil the best way so that his kids and his grandkids can farm that same land, and they're going to do it in the right way. And we're just taking that and that experience and that good crop that they're producing and converting it into a usable product that carries forward that sustainability even further. And I think it's just another way to continue to show your average consumer that no matter how far they may be removed from the farm, virtually everything in their life ties back to agriculture in some way.
Without a doubt. And folks can go to JeneraInc.com to find out a whole lot more about this, the new things that are taking place at Genera, and how established a company they've been for years now to try to help protect our environment and protect our farmers. And Brad, back to you again. What farmers that you're contracting with, the end product that's gonna, you know, that they're gonna harvest, is a bale of switchgrass or a bale of sorghum or a bale of wheat straw? Is that how they produce or bring the end product to Genera? How does that work?
Yes, sir. So that is how our contract is set up. We are looking to purchase the baled material from these growers. So, you know, looking for, you know, typically a 4x5 or a 5x6 round bale. There are some instances in certain pockets where there are large square bales out there, growers that have those, you know, and we can work with folks on that. You know, the one requirement there that we do have is that we do require it to be a net wrapped, and that just maintains and preserves the bale while in storage and also in transportation to the facility here.
And then, Sam, I would think that it would take a lot to make this, and I'm just going to say what I think it is, a gook. Or goop, you all are processing like a big soup of this material, right? That's what you're doing, yep. Basically. But you got to have a lot of storage. I would think it would take a whole lot of that to make this process work. Not that we're trying to give you to give away secrets or anything, but that's how it works, right? They bring it in, and then you guys just kind of transform it into this like
sure.
A soup-looking substance.
Yeah, we bring in the baled material and we break those bales down, but we don't grind it very fine. It's pretty coarse when it goes into our process. And so we use some heat and water and basically cook the material. There's some proprietary chemistry in there that helps us break that down. And what we're trying to do is separate the cellulose from the lignin in that material. And, you know, the white paper that you buy today for your printer at home, that's predominantly wood cellulose, and that's what makes a good pulp. And so when we separate the cellulose and the lignin in an agricultural herbaceous material, it's just a different process than what the wood guys use. And so we cook our pulp, and then we refine it through some grinding or some machining technology. So I sometimes call it brute force and ignorance more than anything. So we cook it, we soften it up, and then we kind of pass it through these grinding plates, and that's what shreds the fibers apart. And so at the end of the process, we have a liquid lignin stream that comes out that we use for other products. And then we have this cellulose pulp that looks basically like a runny oatmeal. And we take that pulp and we can press the water out of it and make these food service products. We can make paper towel, toilet tissue, facial tissue, and even box board packaging. So think about like cereal boxes and that sort of thing. All of that here in the near future can be made with switchgrass, sorghum, and wheat straw pulp.
It just sounds really exciting and really just smart. It's what it sounds like to me, and hopefully it's going to continue to move forward. And I think it comes at a, you know, if there's anything to that you could say would ever be good out of something that's been so devastating in COVID-19 is the, you know, the what people think of when they think about the people that are essential or not, that's our farmers. And now, you know, and of course our frontline healthcare folks. And, but yeah, those farmers, they're getting more publicity now or more understanding from the general public that they are essential. And when you have a product that they can produce now, that you all are converting their farm product into a product that's biodegradable, that's going to be a big opportunity, I think, for our farmers.
Absolutely, you know, and we certainly see it growing beyond just this one facility. Genera hopes to replicate this in other locations, and you know, quite honestly, the demand for these type of products continues to increase, and we continue to get customer interest in the fiber and the fiber-based products. And so, you know, while it may be a small or relatively local market for farmers here in the eastern half of the state, we think there's great opportunity to continue to expand that and create those markets elsewhere as well for other farmers.
Well, it sounds great, and we just appreciate the opportunity to share your story here, and hopefully by the fall, things are going to start continuing to move forward as those crops come in and the facility comes online. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
All right, so we'll look forward to those first food service products coming out of Von Ohr, Tennessee, and Genera, and Brad Valentine, Sam Jackson, thank you all for your time here.
Thank you, Lee. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Lee. Thank you.